So from James, where we hear that the prayers of the faithful can heal many, to this passage in Mark, where Jesus is speaking to the faithful, to the disciples, a teaching which seems a bit off from what we normally hear from our Savior. And remember, these are these times of personal teaching with Jesus and his disciples. This isn't crowd teaching. This is teaching to the ones who are to have the church or form the church when he dies and is risen from the dead. So John begins the passage this morning by bringing to Jesus' attention that somewhere out there, someone is performing miracles because they're healing in the name of Jesus. And John, and maybe James with him, are a little concerned because they're not part of our crowd. What are they doing? They're not one of us. But these things are happening, Jesus. They need to come into the fold. They need to come in line. How dare they do that in your name and not be part of us? And Jesus' response to John is not to stop them. Not to stop them. For no one does a deed of power in my name will ever, ever be able to criticize me in that same voice, in that same mouth. But it made me stop and think about how the Church of Jesus Christ kind of erupts everywhere at this early formation time. Some there in the group of followers, but imagine them going through town, and the whole entourage leaves your town, but something about the message of Christ just caught you, and it takes a hold, and you start doing the things that Jesus talked about doing. And there, in the midst of it, God's miracles happen. But the disciples are long gone. We would call that a new church plant. But don't we do this sort of thing even today that the disciples did back then? Well, if that church plant doesn't look like us, are they really us? Who is Christian and who is not? Is that Holiness Church a Christian church? Is that Roman Catholic Church a Christian church? Is that Greek Orthodox Church a Christian church? And we begin to compare churches by how they look or don't look like us. And what Jesus says, and which I told my son, is when the truth is spoken in my name, it is truth. That even though how they're worshiping, how they're displaying their love of God and their love for community that might be slightly different than we even feel comfortable with, if it is the truth of the gospel, then God will bless that truth. And that we need not be the ones criticizing how they worship, because God is present there and the Holy Spirit is present there. Which is why he can move to where he moves to in the next conversation that he has with them, when he starts to talk about the millstone. Because sometimes when we as Christians do that, when we begin to say, that's not Christian, but we are, we have the potential of putting some who might come to Christ at odds with us, and they may not come to the one who they need to come to, because they look at us and say, well, that's a pretty judgmental group, and they don't get to learn about Jesus, their Savior. So what he says is, if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown in the sea. Often we equate that little ones to the children. But he says the little ones who believe in me. He's talking about those new in the faith. That we who are the leaders of the church, or they who are the disciples, the 12, if they cause those to stumble, those brand new people, those people over there who are praising God and lifting the name of Jesus and doing miracles, if we criticize them, we might lose them, he's telling them. And if you cause them to stumble because you've been too critical, it is better. It is better for you. This is Jesus. This is kind of harsh. Because if you look at Leo's bulletin cover, you'll know what it looks like to have that millstone around your neck and you thrown into the sea. And I thought about that, the weight of the millstone. And so I Googled, what's the weight of a millstone? And they can range anywhere from 100 pounds to thousands of pounds. So then I thought, well, what if the millstones around our neck grow? What if the reality is that sometimes when we do things that put people away from Christ forms the millstone, and the more we do, the larger it gets, and the larger it gets, and the heavier it gets, and the heavier it gets, until we fall down from the weight of the millstone. He is very, very clear here that our job as disciples and leaders of already followers of Jesus Christ, our job is to make sure no one stumbles because of us, that no one falls because of us. So then he moves into this place where he speaks about hands and feet and eyes. And in Scripture, often sexual items or sexual parts of our body are metaphors, especially feet. As we know, when Ruth was asked to be at the feet of Boaz by her mother-in-law, she was asking her to be in a relationship with Boaz that would cause Boaz to do what he would do. To me, what Jesus is doing here with his disciples is doing what many of us in government have, or in any organization have, is he's having that sexual harassment conversation with leaders. He's reminding the leaders of the church, the growing church, the moving church, that those who come to us, those who are vulnerable, those who are in need of rescuing, are going to be very needy people. And that we have to be cautious when we welcome them in, that we welcome them in as brothers and sisters in Christ, and not move through their vulnerability and cause them harm. We know that the church as a whole, and now that the Pope has been in America, the sexual misconduct of the Catholic priests is again back in people's conversations. We know sometimes that the body of Christ can do harm to those who come in our doors. And to think the first sexual misconduct conversation was from Jesus to his disciples, to remind them how precious. And he sounds pretty angry or pretty adamant here, to remind each of them and to remind each of us how precious each soul is to God and to Jesus Christ. So precious that if we are to do harm to any of them, we might as well take that millstone, the weight of that millstone, and maybe not throw ourselves into the sea, but maybe be carrying that millstone around and realize the weight of the harm we have may have caused someone else. That sin is a very, very, very tempting thing. And vulnerable people are the most susceptible for us to cause sin upon them. And then he says, for everyone will be salted with fire, which is the reminder that all of us will be judged. All of us will stand before the Lord for judgment. But then he does this funny thing with salt, doesn't he? He says, salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season with it? So the last words we hear from him is, have salt in yourselves. And be at peace with one another. Have salt in yourselves. If salt is the Holy Spirit, if salt is a relationship with God, if salt is our right relationship with God, have salt in yourself so that you can have peace with one another. That if we are in a right relationship with God, then the possibility that we might fall susceptible to those temptations to sin, they're removed. They're removed. So that we can have peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and maybe bring in those who are the least, the last, the lost, those who are in need. One of the things that we talked about this morning in our early worship service was the fact that what helps us is being in community, being in small groups, being in places where we can, as one woman said, expose our shame. Because if we speak it, it has no more power over us. That small groups are one of the places where we can grow as brothers and sisters in Christ, and then grow out into the world to share the message. A small group, a safe small group, is a place where we can share our most vulnerable moments to sin, share our strongest temptations. And they may not be as horrendous as a potential sexual attraction to someone else, but they could be, I gossiped again. I gossiped about that same person again. And I know that that's hurting them, but I couldn't help myself. I spoke about it again. And to share that in a small group session or small group conversation so that you can be helped in the manner of watching your tongue, which James talked to us about a little bit earlier this month. Or maybe it's, you know, I really have a hard time keeping my foot off the gas pedal. Leo smiling very broadly back there. Even in small group, it doesn't help him. But the fact that those things that tempt us, or road rage that tempts us to do things that are silly but could possibly harm another, possibly prevent someone else, a small group is a place where we can remember that we are salt. We can have brothers and sisters praying over us. We can be reconnected to God and to humanity so that that God, who is a loving and forgiving God, can love and forgive us. And we can continue to do the work God has called us to do. Jesus had a hard conversation with his disciples about the dangers of being a leader, about the dangers of being people out there in the public view who everyone can see, who everyone can get excited about and want to follow. And he has this conversation with them so that they can be better leaders, so that they can be the disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. And sometimes we need those hard conversations. Sometimes we need those truth-telling moments when we are not doing what God has called us to do, when we are not being the person that God has formed us to be. And big meetings aren't often the best place to do that. But those small groups, or that one-on-one friend, it is great to have a spiritual partner to walk beside you and speak truth into your life. Because God wants, desires, that the world be saved. And the only way that the world can be saved is when you and I act like the disciples we are to act like, and to make a place that is open and willing to bring people in, and the vulnerable are not at risk in our midst. We never know. We never know when the stranger comes in, whether we are at risk from them or they are at risk from us. But Jesus says that we are to have salt so that we can be at peace with one another. Because I, for one, do not want to carry the weight of a millstone around my neck. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.